One of the most common interpretations of the word Advent is the time of expectant waiting and preparation. Advent is a time of anticipation. Advent is a time of waiting. During this time of Advent, we wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we wait for his second coming. To be honest, in our world today, we don't like to wait for anything. As I mentioned in my sermon last Sunday, we don't want to wait for anything because waiting is hard. But the reality is, as much as it is for us, as much as we are waiting, longing and hoping for God, in the same way that God is waiting, longing and hoping for each of us, waiting and hoping that we will turn to Him during this season of grace, Advent. The Bible has much to say about grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor given to us, because God desires us to have it. We have heard of so often of God's love. Do you ever think about God's love searching for you, longing for you, wanting no hindrance or obstacle between you and God? Our first reading opens with God saying to a heavenly council, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid." And at this moment, I would like to encourage you to read the book of Isaiah this Advent if you can. The book of Isaiah is a kind of Bible in miniature. Bible in miniature. There are 66 chapters in it, and it's generally divided into two parts. I guess most of us know. The first part has 39 chapters, and second part has 27 chapters. And in the Bible, there are 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. Furthermore, there is obviously a great change in the atmosphere between the Old and the New Testament. And when you read Isaiah right through, you discover that there is the same contrast. And it's just like beginning to read the New Testament when you read chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah. Indeed, it begins with the words that we just read, which we applied to John the Baptist right in the beginning in the New Testament. "A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God." The same chapter announces the coming of the Lord to intervene and deliver the people from bondage. It is foreshadowing Christ, so that the people were to prepare for this and to comfort others to wait for the Lord. When the prophet wrote chapters 40 to 66 of the book of Isaiah, he prophesied toward the end of the Babylonian exile. In 587 BCE, Jerusalem was captured and destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. In fairness, this was a well-deserved punishment from God to his people who had made idols their gods and refused to trust in Yahweh. Just imagine how wonderful hearing this would have been for those people waiting anxiously in captivity, so far from home. Babylon is hundreds of miles from their home in Jerusalem, across a rocky and barren desert. But this obstacle will no longer burden God's chosen people. God is coming. God will lead these wayward people out of exile back to their homeland. Their anxious waiting is coming to an end. God will lead them despite any hardships, any shortcomings of his own people. The prophet continues, "Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it all together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It is, friends, it is a relationship that God seeks to have with us. It is a relationship. We can see this intimacy that God wants between him and us in the first reading today. He's like a shepherd feeding the flock, gathering the lambs in his arms, holding them against his breast, and leading to their rest the mother sheep. Imagine being held by God. This is the intimacy God wants between you and him. So during this season of Advent, we can ask ourselves if there is anything keeping us and God apart. Is there anything I can remove and embrace the love of God? This is the season of grace. The season we are living in. This is the season of mercy. Is any sin of any kind in our lives keeping us separated from God? During this season of waiting for the second coming of Jesus, can we also look into our hearts and turn from sin to God, asking forgiveness? The baptism of John the Baptist was a baptism of repentance. The very first words of Jesus ever spoke, they were about repentance. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." The second reading today gives us a warning. God is patient with us now in order to give us time to repent. But the time for repentance will not last. It is very clear. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The Lord is not being slow to carry out his promises. Rather, he is being patient with you, wanting nobody to be lost and everybody to be brought to repentance. We are living now in this time of mercy, when we have an opportunity to repent. We want to receive as much as grace as we can from God during this time of Advent. And he's full of grace. He's the source of grace, in fact. The Lord has no limits to what he wants to give us. It is we who put limits on what he wants to give us. The Lord is waiting to receive us, to take us in his arms and hold us close to his heart. The prophet Isaiah evokes the warmth and comfort of the Advent season. At the same time, we must also consider what John the Baptist reminds us of in today's gospel from the Gospel of Mark. His identity is not important. The message is. John represented this so well. "I am a voice," he says. "I am a voice." He made it very clear using Asianic images that he was not the light. He knew, he recognized and realized who Jesus was. This is the time for us to know, recognize and realize who Jesus is. He humbled himself to receive the Lord and made others aware of the then poorly recognized royal coming. This Advent season, we are not only looking forward to the birth of Christ, we also seek Jesus who was God incarnate in the River Jordan. Through our baptism, through our confession, through our repentance, we are called to be part of that incarnation as the body of Christ. This is possible if only we turn to God. You don't have to do anything, not at all. Only through faith, believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That's it. And then we have a role to play. So in the midst of our Advent waiting, these scriptures we read today do comfort us. But they also challenge us. They also address a comfort that is bigger than our desire to feel good around Christmas time. In other words, it's not just about us. The good news of God becoming human is for all humanity. We need to put ourselves in the place of the prophet who asked God, "What shall I cry?" We know the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. We know about God's love for us and for all in God's creation. We have heard it proclaimed again and again. So here is that role we are supposed to play. We are called to be the ones who proclaim comfort to others who are suffering, who are away from the Lord. To others who wait. Waiting can be so difficult, but knowing God is with us in the midst of this waiting can ease the impatience. And as God's faithful people, we, like the prophet, must find our own voices to speak words of comfort and healing and hope to anyone who feels separated or abandoned by God. Because God doesn't abandon anyone, not even the lost sheep. God will come. God will enter the experience of all who wait. God will bring them peace, and God will bring us peace. We might be challenged this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord into our lives once again, or to renew our search for purpose and meaning if we feel we are drifting aimlessly, if we are busy, stressed, and overwhelmed by all there is to do. We may be challenged to clear a space, just a little one, for God to reach us. Just a little break from noisy, busy activities to listen for that still, small voice speaking peace on earth. Christmas, dear friends, Christmas will lack its full meaning for us if we do not prepare in our own hearts a way for the Lord. It is in our hearts that we need to make a straight highway for God. It is the valleys of sin in our own hearts that are to be filled with God's mercy, grace, and healing. And the mountains and hills of pride in our own hearts that are to become leveled and lowered in the name of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.